everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing our program. And Tom, we've got a nice-looking weekend. I will not say anything bad about 80-degree temperatures.
Well,
no, 85 to 90.
Sunday and Monday, we may be seeing near 80, around
near
80.
Yeah. Okay,
but other than that, it should be in the mid to upper 70s.
My little hibiscus plant likes it very much. Still have to bring it in at night, however. The Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. It is February 11th, 2022. The radio station is 1030 Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. We're now in year 12 of our radio project, 34th year on TV and radio here in the Tucson market. We have our worldwide live listening and podcasts at buckmastershow.com. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Some media shout-outs that we like to do on Friday. And I can do this one in person because Dylan Smith is with us from TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan, hey, thank you so much for being really along and supportive of us as we've got 11 full years. You've got 12 full years at TucsonSentinel.com. Appreciate your support.
Really happy to be here, of course, and congrats. In that intro, when you were talking about entering year 12, I thought you were going to end up with the pandemic.
No. This is the end of year.
We're starting to lose track.
Right.
People are talking about it, and they're like, after 3 years, and it's like, no, we're entering the third year.
Yeah,
it hasn't been
three years of the pandemic. Other shout-outs in the media, Green Valley News, Saharita Sun, Dan Shear, thank you for your support. Jim Ninsel, thank for you for your support at Tucson Local Media Group. They have the Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. With us in studio, a return visit. It's always good to see him. United States Representative Raul Grijalva, Democrat representing Arizona's 3rd Congressional District, first elected to Congress. How well I remember that 20 years ago or so, because I was hosting a debate with
20 people, it seemed like it.
Yeah, how many were there?
There was 14
or 14 or 15, and they told us they're at Channel 6, AZPM. Bill, you've got an hour with all...
Everybody gets 11 seconds to make their
candidates.
Pitch.
So I figured out, well, let me see. What is your big issue for the campaign? You each get 30 seconds. Then you'll get a 30-second closing statement. But anyway, Congressman wound up winning that first election quite handily. A couple of years ago, he was named chairman of the House Natural Resources Committee, and there's a lot of activity. First of all, welcome. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
And I hope you're feeling a little better.
No,
you
I'm good. We're
had
good.
A return visit to the old COVID.
No, it was, I think, thanks to the vaccinations and still trying to be as careful as possible, that it was mild, to say the least. It was like a mild flu or cold for about
cold.
A day and a half.
Yeah.
Nothing severe and nothing as dramatic as the first time I got it, but I'm fine.
Good. People are really uptight. I'll tell you, and Dylan pointed out the COVID continues on and on. A survey that CNN did, who did they do that one with? SSRS. Do you know what that stands for, Dylan? It was a CNN poll.
Something that, research service. I
yeah,
can't remember exactly.
That 60%, about 60% of Americans, congressmen, disapprove of how President Biden is handling the presidency. And another kind of troubling thing was that a waning faith in U.S. elections. People are kind of, how do I put this? Well, they're just upset. They're unhappy with the way things are going right now. Yeah.
Yeah, when the House of Representatives, in terms of favorability and job performance, outdoes the administration and the U.S. Senate, usually we're at the bottom end of that particular survey. But times being what they are, and I think that the approval ratings for Biden, yeah, they're a concern. And but I think reparable, that they can be dealt with. I think the more fundamental question is this insecurity and lack of faith in to put it bluntly, in our electoral process, in the way we elect our representatives. That, to me, is the most troubling and the most dangerous of all. And because it builds up a tolerance for it builds up a tolerance for lies, that the election has been stolen, that an election is not legitimate. It also sets up a tolerance, unfortunately, for laws that are directed at suppressing a vote as opposed to assuring a vote. And that gets aggravated when the Senate does not move on federal overriding legislation, even as a waiver to the filibuster. That gets aggravated and I think emboldens those efforts across the country. So, yeah, that to me is the most dangerous. I think the approval ratings and that, I see those are survivable and those are cyclical in terms of an administration. But, you know, we have a fight on our hands, both for the House of Representatives and depending on who's taking the pulse, it's either a fait accompli that Democrats are going to lose the majority or that there is a fighting chance to hang on. And
You think there's a fighting chance?
I'm committed to that fighting chance to hang on.
You've got a little stake in the game there.
And I think that's possible. And I think, you know, the elections are away a year, and we'll see what happens. But I think those are repairable. But you know, the one issue after another that I think is causing the most frustration, I think, is the lack of clarification that the voters feel and that families feel. You know, the first thing out of constituents' mouth for me isn't, oh, my God, the inflation's 7.5.
Yeah.
It comes up about cost of issue, but it's not, it's when are we going to make a decision about something? When are we going to move something forward or clarify something for the American people? I think once we start clarifying some of these issues and doing something and moving some things forward, then those ratings and those approval things begin to shift. But if we're still stalled in this position, then it's going to be more and more difficult and very, very challenging.
I've got some more local things to ask you about. But first, to kind of continue that thread, why do you think so many people have this expressed lack of faith in our political process, in our government? Why are they so disaffected? Right now we hear it all, you know, so much from the right wing, people who... you know, worked within a concerted effort to undermine people's faith in our elections. But leading up to that, we saw it a whole lot on the left, too. For Bernie supporters who said that, you know, oh, there were, you know, shenanigans in the Democratic primary,
right.
Two election cycles in a row where mm-hmm. they think it was the nomination was stolen from him. Why is this so pervasive? And is it fixable?
I think you have to put assurances about the security of the vote, and assurances about the access to that vote, and that can be fixed. It resource question to some extent, but also the issue of incentivizing, for lack of a better word, and the encouragement of participation and access through how we set up our election systems, and that includes vote by mail, early voting, all those practices that encourage participation. I think those things can be fixed, and I think legislatively they can be fixed. That effort was on the John Lewis voting bill and other voting bills that are not going anywhere at this point in the Senate, and so I think that's fixable. The other fundamental question is, distrust in the election. The history of the civil rights movement is centered around equal application of the law and equity on that issue. And the issue of voting was a struggle. Special legislation, Voting Rights Act, that we are now fighting to extend, etc., to make sure that there were no artificial barriers put in front of people to vote. That was a struggle, a deep struggle. And that's how voting rights came into the vernacular in terms of our nation as a whole. Yeah, so getting there, the distrust was the motivation and the lack of. On the right, it's winners and losers. I don't like the result of this election, therefore, how can I overturn it? And that's the danger. It's not, you know, I have been in the minority in public life as an elected official more than I've ever been in the majority. And it's not good. I don't like it. I don't like having to fight every day about the values that people elected me to go represent. But that's the democracy and that's the system that I'm committed to. But when we've lost Gore Bush, when we lost, it's not a question of moving on. It's accepting good or bad. And moving on. And there is no acceptance.
And maybe work harder.
And work twice as hard. And but, you know, when you lost an election and now you want to, in your own fantasy, recreate that election and declare another winner, that's a whole different ballgame. And I don't know how you go about reaching that other than to making the sanctity of voting that much more important. And let that process dictate what the policy is going to be, win or lose. And like I said, I've been on the losing end more than on the winning end, I don't like it, but that's the system I'm committed to, and that's the system of voting that this country relies on, and that's where the danger is. I lost. How do I go about still winning while I lost?
The partisan divide goes out the window, Dylan and Congressman, when people walk into a certain bakery in town here. Dylan, what bakery would that be?
Well, it's a name that's pretty familiar to the Congressman. I don't think it references the same person, though.
It's Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Steve and the team right now preparing heart-shaped Kringles for the weekend and Valentine's Day. I know, Congressman, that if you were up at Mona's right now, you would want some of their wonderful coffee.
Yes.
Would you go with the almond-filled croissant? Does that sound good to you? What do you have in mind?
Sounds really good, but but you know, really like just the plain croissant there.
Right,
it's delicious.
The butter
you
croissant.
You taste that. I like that. That with coffee is good. I like extras in the croissant or on top of the donut, but you know, I'm kind of a plain donut, plain croissant.
And Dylan, what about your order?
You know, I didn't have a very big breakfast. I don't think I ate breakfast. I think I just had a cup of coffee. So I probably need a sandwich up there.
Yeah, they will do the sandwich right now or the full breakfast if you want to go that route.
What about both?
Well, if I have that choice, I'd go full breakfast.
Mona's Danish Bakery, open right now, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. The website's very tempting with those beautiful photographs of all of the menu items. Mona'sDanishBakery.com. All right, we'll pause right here with Congressman Raul Grijalva. Our Friday Focus interview, Dylan Smith is with us from TucsonSentinel.com. Be right back.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show Friday Focus interview today. Congressman Raul Grijalva, Democrat representing District Number 3. And of course, Congressman, that number will change with the redistricting. Dylan Smith is with us in studio as well from TucsonSentinel.com. So your new district is pretty much covers all of the board of port of entries now, doesn't it, along the border?
Yeah. The addition of Douglas gives us the port of entries, essentially all the port of entries along the border, significant ones, and then I think the addition of Bisbee is a new area for me, kind of shifting more up in Maricopa, less people that I represent, more in Pima, keeping the integrity of the Santa Cruz Valley together, which was important to us, and now more attention up there in the Maricopa area to Tolleson as a community, as opposed to Avondale, which was where the other concentration was. Those are the major changes, but the big the thing for looking down the road is that one of the things that was very important to us and to me is that we retain the ability to elect a representative from Southern Arizona. I was just worried that we were going to continually get cannibalized by Maricopa as a district, and suddenly you'd have two districts in which there is not sufficient votes down here in order to sustain a representative. And so we're happy that at least for the next 10 years that opportunity is going to exist down here. Regardless, whether it's me or somebody else.
You're saying you were concerned that the population shift might move more into Phoenix, so there wouldn't actually be someone from Southern Arizona who was elected to represent it? That the things would get divvied
that it would be the Maricopa's a spoke for almost every congressional seat, including this one now.
Yeah.
Seven now, that's the number. And So the more I get cannibalized, and the more our vote gets split down here,
because the your district that you're seeking re-election in kind of pretty much resembles the one you've been voted in before, you know, from Yuma all the way to Tucson, Nogales, but now it moves even further east, taking in the stretch along the border, running to Douglas, and a little bit of a shift up there in Maricopa County, yep, from where to kind of that pie slice of the state.
Yeah, but more population, yeah, in Pima County than before, and that was good.
Yeah, you've got more like a kind of stretch of Midtown that kind of
that was originally when I originally got elected, that was part of it.
Yeah,
that those neighborhoods, and they ended up back, and that's good. That whole area around the university, Sam Hughes, and some of those were very comfortable when we represented those areas, and we're glad to have them back.
How do you see things playing out in the other, I can't remember the number, the other Southern Arizona district?
I think it's going to continue to be the toss-up district that it's been. And
you're talking about the old, what's currently known as Congressional District Number 2.
Right.
I think it's going to continue to be the toss-up. I think Democrats are going to have the same chance they've always had. And we certainly, and if we're in a position to help, and if we can help, we will. I mean, that's an important position. I still think that it's a toss-up district. A lot of money will be spent in it, and you know.
And the current congressional district number one, represented by Tom O'Halloran, now moves north, pretty much moves out of the Tucson metropolitan area.
And much as some of the people that look at this stuff, some of the pundits that is a lost district. I don't think so. I really don't. I think the margin is still within the toss district. I think O'Halloran is still going to be. Stanton joined that list of people that will receive additional support, and whoever survives the primary on the Democratic side is also going to, because those are going to be considered toss-up districts, and O'Halloran remains that way.
Let's talk about Oak Flat. You were up there yesterday. For folks that don't know about Oak Flat, it's a couple of hours northeast of Tucson. It's Tonto National Forest and San Carlos Apache land. And for these folks, for that First Nation tribe, the Oak Flat is like it'd be like the Vatican. I mean, it's a very historic site, right, Congressman?
Yeah,
and there's this Resolution Copper's proposed copper mine is right by Oak Flat.
Yeah, and there has been a land transfer that Congress and Obama signed as part of the National Defense Package in 2014, and this began this 12-year odyssey now, and struggle for the Apache people, San Carlos, and for a wide range of allies in opposition to the mine, and our efforts to try to overturn that particular legislatively. That deal, the issue is of national importance. It brings into the role of a government to government relations the trust responsibility that is constitutional for the Congress of the United States and federal government to have with indigenous tribes, First Nation tribes, and recognized federal tribes, and so. And that does not occurred. So yesterday was the introduction and the beginning.
Yeah, you were up there yesterday.
Of the formal consultation with the tribe and finally the Forest Service as representing the federal government to government. I went for the opening part of it, but not to stick my nose into the formality of that process. But everybody knows my opinion. I'm opposed to that mine. for a variety of reasons.
Water, is water one of the issues?
Water has become a bigger issue in it. The environmental impact has become a bigger issue. Habitats, the design of this caving out, and what could happen to Oak Flats, and what could happen to the whole region. And the nexus is that it's federal, that trade is federal land, and that is why the involvement. Let me just say that this odyssey began earlier than that, when then Representative Trent Franks, at the behest of the company and others, put a piece of legislation in to do just that, to create that transfer. When it was supposed to go to the floor, they pulled it. And they were in, the Republicans were in the majority. They pulled it because they didn't have enough votes to pass that deal. 2014, a year or so later, the late and esteemed Senator McCain, and I mean that, I do, I have great esteem for the man, put in, unannounced, secretively, that language that facilitated that land transfer, and we've been in this fight ever since.
So that language moved the ball.
And it was on a national defense bill that everybody voted for, and that the president signed because he had to sign it. And so now, you know, the process of undoing, the process of rebooting this whole thing to have a real discussion about what this means, you know, and people have to remember, not only is, you know, in this state of Arizona, the mining enterprises have no limit and no restriction on how much water they can use. And so you have all that other issues around the drought that are going to be impacted by this mine, mm-hmm. and that region, particularly Pinal County, that's running out of water.
Yeah, we're in a tier one shortage situation.
And so now we go into the discussion with the tribe about the sacredness, the religious resources, the cultural resources, and they have support of National Indian Congress, 527 recognized tribes. They have 18 resolutions from individual tribes in Arizona, all of the tribes in New Mexico, our neighbor. And to an Indian country, this is a big issue as to their religious freedom and respect for their consultation. And so that's another reason to oppose it. And then the last reason for me is the taxpayer. Mining extraction doesn't pay one red cent in royalties. Gas and oil, 10, 12, 14% on public lands. And more than that on state land. Mines pay royalties on state land. But on federal land, all extractions.
Does that go back to the 1872 mining?
Yeah, and so that's the other issue here. Okay. And 70% of it, of whatever they extract copper from there, whatever's there, is for exportation. The refinery will be overseas. And the 4,000 jobs the company has claimed is really 150.
All right.
Because it's an automated mine. So there's a reason for no, and one of them is the central issue of the role of the San Carlos Apache and their protection of their sacred sites. So, yeah, it's a huge thing.
All right, here's Dylan Smith. Dylan?
On the subject of mining for one more minute, you're firmly opposed to this mine. You haven't been a big fan of the Rosemont mine proposed for south of Tucson. Where should we mine? In what circumstances is it appropriate? I'm looking at my cell phone here, and that takes, you know, digging up the ground to make more of these.
Yeah, and essential and precious metals are important. And all I'm saying in the reform to this 1872 law, let's bring mining into this century. Let's put the regulatory, the bonding assurances, let's put that up front and center, okay? And let's the environmental analysis, the NEPA process, look at every point of conflict with a mining extraction across the country, whether it's the boundary waters in Minnesota, whether it's Rosemont, whether it is uranium mining in the Grand Canyon, and Oak Flats. Just three controversial issues. Why are they controversial? because they were done in such a manner that they were expedited, and large sectors of the public and others were left out of the discussion. That is this century we have to deal with. And we're still, and you're right, now minings have fiat. You can't tell a mining company no on public land because it's in the law. Mm-hmm. And there are some areas in which you should say no. And that's the whole point of the reform, honestly, is to give the federal government and stakeholders the ability to say no. Is there a place where it shouldn't happen? There is. It shouldn't happen in a, and Oak Flats is an example, and the Grand Canyon is an example. And but is there places that it should, that it can be mitigated, that all the protections we talk about can be taken care of and groundwater isn't threatened? Yes. But with a this century regulations, law, and mentality. And as long as we're doing the little guy with his donkey grubstaker going out and hitting the big one, and that's the way this law is written, then the controversies are either for or against, or do you want me to have a cell phone or not? Or do you want electric-powered cars, but you don't want the metals that are necessary, mm-hmm. or you don't? So you have to let us do what we want. No. There is a medium there, and it begins with getting rid of this law and putting a law that reflects the reality of where we're in right now. It ain't that West no more. It's a new West, and the competing interests on that issue and the different stakeholders are not what they used to be in 1872. It's a completely different world, and that law is still stuck over there.
Yeah.
Okay, Dylan, just about out of time. You said you had a couple of local items. Have we touched? I think we've touched on a couple of them. What else do you have?
Well, it may be not completely local, but it kind of circles back to one of the things you touched on opening up. And how are you trying to, if you even are at this point, you know, a Build Back Better kind of fell on its face. This enormous package that Democrats touted as a game changer.
No.
And it all fell apart. Is there work being done to make that happen again as a package? The different pieces? What's going on?
I think the discussion is more around pieces because they're hugely not only popular but necessary pieces. Thing around children. Thing around investment in education, climate, and some of the important protections, and some of the ways that the federal government could have a bigger role in the climate issue, environmental justice issues that are in there as well, you know, all that's in there. But let me just say something without, if I sound defensive. I don't intend to, but nevertheless, because I hope what I'm saying is affirming a position that I feel very strongly about. You know, we get elected to go do something. And if we're honest with the people that vote for us, we tell them what we're going to go do. And I try to do that. And so we go to Congress and we have a majority in the House of Representatives. And I want to be, and our job was to do what we said we were going to do. Around every significant issue you could talk about, from voting, the climate, criminal justice, healthcare, children, education, investment, rebuilding from the pandemic. And we passed those pieces of legislation, including DACA, including guest worker programs that dealt with farm workers and other essential workers. We passed all that. And it goes to the fog that is the United States Senate. Or it gets caught in a limbo because there's no direction from Congress, so that you get a half step from the administration as opposed to a full step. So what I say is that we did our job. The Democrats in the House of Representatives did their job with their majority. Now, like it or not, it's up to, it's time some other people begin to do their job, whether it's in the Senate or in the administration. because that's what I feel good about. That we didn't lie to the American people, and we said what we were going to do, up, good, bad, or indifferent, and we endured an insurrection while doing it. And so that's the point I'm promoting a lot, because I really think that part of the pressure on the majority in the Senate is to do your job.
Okay. On that note, we will leave it right there. Congressman, it's great to see you. Thank you very much for coming in. Appreciate it.
Take care.
All right. Dylan Smith will stick around. It's indeed. Buckmaster on a Friday in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. When we come back, I'll talk with Dylan Smith, the editor and publisher and founder of TucsonSentinel.com.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. Discover your world inside Biosphere 2. Explore living, breathing scientific research. Using the new Biosphere 2 Experience app, you can now explore one of the wonders of the world's amazing 30-year history and future through never-before-seen videos and photos. Visit today at info@biosphere2.org.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We thank Congressman Raul Grijalva for coming in today. He was our Friday Focus interview. And my guest reporter today, Dylan Smith, editor and publisher of the TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan, as I have in front of me an obit that you wrote yesterday, Olivia Guerrero Bedford died, and boy, she was up in her family has been associated with state lawmaking for decades.
For longer than I've been alive, at
and
the very
least. And she passed away.
Yeah, she was 83. Mm-hmm. That's why if you're driving around town today and you see flags at half staff, that's in her honor. Governor Ducey ordered that flags throughout Arizona be flown at half staff today to mark her death. She was in the legislature in both the House and then the state Senate for, I think, a total of 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
And both her mother for decades and her father for several years in the 60s, early 70s, were also both in the state legislature. So it was a run of about 40-some years where there was a Cajero representing Southern Arizona in the legislature.
She was enormously...
Pretty impressive record.
Enormously popular in her district here in Southern Arizona, so much so that, as I reflect back, rarely did she even have any opponents.
Yeah, she actually lost her very first election very narrowly in the Democratic primary. I think that was, I can't remember the exact year, but lost by like 137 votes or something like that. A pretty small number. And then, very easily won election the next time around and re-election, time and again until she was termed out in the Senate and then tried to make a return to go back and run for the state House and narrowly lost the Democratic primary.
The flags will, as you note, be at half staff in her honor. And again, she was Olivia Cajero Bedford, dead at the age of 83. Congressman Grijalva touched on these new districts. Kind of sounds like we'll have kind of two districts that we'll be working with. The one that he will be representing if he is reelected, and he's standing for reelection.
It seems fairly likely. He never really has, mostly easily winning reelection. But yes, he still has to run and win.
Right.
He's got to remember to show up and vote for himself at the very least.
And he did talk about that district now pretty much covers the entire border area.
Yeah, it doesn't, fully encompass all of Cochise County's border with Mexico, but runs through to Douglas, then all the way across to Yuma, kind of a wide triangle shape, and, the state kind of gets sliced up centered around Phoenix. So it, is a pretty far-flung district. The other Southern Arizona district kind of, lost the Douglas area and got moved a little bit more northward. And that also affects what is, as you mentioned, no longer quite the Southern Arizona district that it has been, what has been CD1 stretching from Oro Valley all the way up through Flagstaff to Utah has moved up a little bit.
Largest congressional district in the United States other than Wyoming, which is a state and a district.
Well, maybe Alaska's got a pretty good one.
Yeah, that might be true. So maybe the continental United States. But anyway, so that race with an open seat in his what is now congressional district number 2 has attracted, we've got 3 primary candidates on the Dem side, and there's quite a few on the Republican side.
There are the 5 or 6 running on the Republican
side.
But not
like back in the day when, as we were reflecting at the beginning of the show, when Congressman Grijalva first ran and we had 15 or more candidates for an open seat.
The last time that area was an open seat, not that long ago, on the Democratic side, there were about 12 people vying for that in that primary. It's kind of surprising that it's not as much of a free-for-all this time around. It is it won't be as much of a, Democratic chance as in previous times. It's, slightly more Republican, we can say, although there's such a huge number of non-party, so-called independent voters in the middle who aren't Democrats or Republicans. It's still very much up for grabs. It could be anybody, and to see it not be, a just crazy scramble for somebody to try and win a seat in Congress is a little unusual.
Okay, Dylan Smith, where can people find out more about TucsonSentinel.com?
Well, go to TucsonSentinel.com easily enough. And, we're Tucson's only local independent nonprofit watchdog news source. Really trying to dig into things, tell you stories that you will not find elsewhere, talk to people who other people aren't talking to.
And you are getting some money for investigative reporting through grants, correct?
Yeah. We're about to kick off. Mm-hmm. We announced it last month. We've been selected to do a pretty deep dive into water issues throughout mostly southern Arizona, and you know, access to clean drinkable water. You know, just something that so many of us don't really think about, but is, you know, completely important to, you know, living a decent life, having, you know, drinking water, having, you know, decent wastewater systems. And there are places in this state where, you know, things are not quite that reliable.
Yeah, and of course, that's a very important issue with the Central Arizona Project right now and the Tier 1 shortage. So that's seems very appropriate. All right, Dylan Smith, always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Keep up the great work. All righty, we'll pause right here. In for Matt Russell today, we've got Dan Gibson from Visit Tucson doing our weekend watch next on The Buckmaster Show.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
And away we go with a weekend watch presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. If Tucson's too warm for you with temperatures of about pushing 80 degrees, perfect high today over in the mid-60s. Great weather to get out and do some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Only about a 3-hour drive. A lot to do. You can find out about specifically what what they have to offer, and they have a lot to offer, and where to stay, go to their website, southwestnewmexico.org. And joining us now for our weekend watch, sitting in, standing in for Mr. Matt Russell, is Dan Gibson from Visit Tucson. Dan, how are you?
Am I supposed to be standing? I didn't know. I'll stand up. I'm ready. I'm going to give this big time energy, the big Matt Russell energy. I'm ready.
Yeah, I mean, we got a weekend of the Gem Show wrapping up, and kind of the granddaddy of them all, the Gem and Mineral Show, the show that started it all, happening at the Tucson Convention Center.
Yeah, started yesterday through Sunday. Tickets available at the box office. It's the when people are like, "Oh, the Gem Show." Generally, they mean the TGMS show, and but also still plenty happening at Keno or along the freeway. It's Gem season, as they say. It's definitely a big deal. It's all happening. So if you haven't been out there, don't miss it. It's a good time all around.
And you're hearing good things about attendance.
Yeah, solid attendance. Restaurants around town reporting pretty good response. Hotels, everything. Yeah, it looked like it was coming together well, but it's also a nice, pleasant surprise to see, you know, city alive again here at the historic courthouse. Seeing, you know, people come to the Gem Museum. It's a good time all around.
Recommendations for the weekend along with the Gem Show, Dan?
Sure. I mean, this is sneaking out of the weekend a little bit, but, you know, Monday is Valentine's Day. Let's just say you are a woman or, of the female persuasion in this town, and you're thinking, you know, no, I don't want to deal with a partner. I don't want to think about Valentine's Day. May I suggest at Buena Vida, a new restaurant on Stone, they're having a Tacos Before Vatos celebration from 6 to 8 p.m. on February 14th. Ladies only. Those who identify as ladies. But $15, all-you-can-eat tacos. There will also be drinks, raffles, vendors, and swag bags. So, I mean, something to consider, you know. I mean, I'm not invited, and I'm a little jealous. But I think it should be a good time.
Should be fun. And again, that location, address?
Yeah, they are. Buena Vida is at 919 North Stone Avenue. It's in the Sahara apartment. It used to be a hotel, I think. Now it's an apartment complex.
Okay.
Yeah, right there.
What else?
We're checking out. Also, you know, anytime a food business makes it any amount of time should be celebrated. The food business is very difficult, especially in pandemic. Dillinger Brewing Company is celebrating its fifth anniversary. The event started on February 9th, but at both of their locations, they have one on like 3895 North Oracle, and then one in the old Coronet space on 4th Avenue. They're having events at both places. Today, they're having a double stout release with a dessert pairing. Then tomorrow is the main day. More beer releases, throwback t-shirts. You can keep your glass. I don't know how that works, but you get to keep a glass. And then it's having a whole kind of... Yeah, why not? You get a free glass. Yeah. Who doesn't enjoy that? Their other location, by the way, 402 East 9th Street.
All right, I have less than 10 seconds. Do you have a quick one?
You know what? Related, on Monday starts Tucson's Show of Support, Visit Tucson Initiative to bring attention to local attractions, zoos, gardens, things like that, discounts on all kinds of annual memberships at great places around town. Go to our website at visittucson.org. You'll find all the information or all our social channels.
Thank you very much, Dan Gibson. Have a great weekend.
You too.
The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, which is wholly responsible for the content of the program. Our thanks to Mr. Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show today, and our entire team here at Bustos Media, and we all wish you a great weekend.